as you might be aware, Oregon and Notre Dame for the right to play in the 2018 Final Four. It's been a hell of a run. Again, live on the scene to share what's happening, the editor-in-chief of GoDucks.com. On Twitter, it's at GoDucksMosley for things beyond football, for you football junkies at Duck Football. Either way, Rob Mosley checks in. Rob, appreciate your time, generosity. How are things?
Doing great. And speaking of multiple Twitter accounts, multiple roles, I'm really thankful for this break in spring practice for football right now to be able to devote full time to women's basketball, because I just can't imagine the chaos if both were going on at the same time.
Yeah, I was thinking, did you have to sneak? Did you just show up in Spokane, or was this an assignment, or did cash exchange hands? Because I put two and two together.
No, I went with these guys to Seattle for the Pac-12 tournament last year. And then, of course, peeled off and followed the men on their Final Four run. But we based on how the men's and women's season were going this year, we kind of had a talk beforehand that I'd link up with them for Seattle and then stick by their side. So it's sure been fun so far, and hopefully it keeps rolling for another week.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get the specifics. I apparently you asked a question of the team at a press session yesterday. I guess, did you just give a go Irish, or how did you get those Ducks to look at you so quizzically?
Yeah, if anybody saw on my Twitter account, I linked some photos that are our guy Sam Marshall, who's taken trips on this or photos on this trip, got from the podium yesterday. The Kelly Graves makes an opening statement. They throw it open for questions, and there's immediately this pause. And I'm like, uh-oh, nobody's going to ask a question. This thing's going to be over before it started, so I better hop in. I wanted to ask Satu Sabli about, hey, she went 0 for 5 shooting threes against Central Michigan. Kind of, was she able to flush that and, kind of stay positive and keep a good mindset going into this game? I can't remember exactly what I said, but it essentially came out as, wow, you really were awful the other night. How are you holding up? So all the looks you see in the photos I posted are them going, dude, seriously? Aren't you kind of supposed to be on our side? What the heck is that? And I immediately saw her out in the locker room, and we laughed, and I apologized that could not have been worded any more poorly on my part. So it was a nice, pretty funny moment. But this is such an awesome group. They're able to easily laugh off stuff like that. Fortunately for me.
But by the way, though, we've been talking about Satu this year. I mean, she's so unique. She's as tall as Hebert, plays on the perimeter, shoots outside, handles the ball. But regardless of how the question is framed, we've called it hopscotch with her shooting, because it's good struggle. So the bottom line is, it's kind of an accurate evaluation, and tonight would land her on the good, no?
Yeah, no, she has a habit of going into a weekend not having a very strong game the first game, and then just blowing up the next one. Whether it was in the two Civil War games in January, the UCLA-USC series, Washington State UW, she'll have a 5-point night and then a 22-point night. So if they can even get a 15-point night out of Sabli tonight, that's just a huge X factor. It wasn't too long ago that in women's basketball, you only really had to account for maybe three players on the floor per team with most teams. The elite teams obviously would go five deep and sometimes beyond in the case of the UConns and things like that. One thing that made this Oregon team so tough in the Pac-12 was that, when Bando was healthy and when Satu was on, legitimately there were five scorers on the floor, because we know Maite Cazorla is so dangerous, picking her spots to go to the rim or putting up a timely three too. So, and that's on top of course, the All-American Siebert and Ionescu. Now they're at this level, obviously you're going to run into more teams that go five deep that way on the floor, and Notre Dame is going to be that way tonight. But, yeah, Satu's such an X factor, because when you've got five players that can score, particularly four that can score from outside, that opens things up for Hebert, and she can be so dominant. So it's she really is an X factor for this team. They were good last year, and they returned almost everybody, so you knew they were going to be good again, but she's one reason among a few that they're poised to potentially take another step, and it's not a surprise the way it was last year.
Talking with Rob Mosley, kind enough to join us a couple hours prior to game time. You know, when you think about the teams you've seen and covered, you had two football teams play for the title, Final Four men last year, track and field, softball, and I've just harped on this all year. Any of them just, in the way they approach the game or each other, just have more fun doing what they do than this group?
No, I think it's just amazing. You know, this morning, they're wrapping up breakfast, and Satu Sabali coincidentally walks in, and for one of the few times she's got her hair blown out, and you know she's got this big frizzy mop of hair when she's fresh out of bed apparently, and she comes down, and Kelly Graves, who's obviously follically challenged and kind of jealous of anybody who has a lot going on up top, somehow ends up posing for a photo where Sabali is behind him, perched on a chair, draping her hair over Kelly's head, and they're taking a photo of what Kelly would look like with this mop of hair. And it's like, guys, you're playing for a spot in the Final Four in like 6 hours. Shouldn't you be like stressed or tense or any of that? But there's none of that. And I think part of the genius of Kelly Graves is he is just a roiling ball of tension and stress. But he has a way of not making that known. You know, when you see him on the sidelines, you know, he's kind of become known for during games. Not only is he sitting down, unlike most coaches, but he'll be kind of leaned back in his chair with his hands behind his head and his legs crossed, really relaxed. Inside, he's going nuts. But he doesn't show that. And so he's not uptight, so it doesn't get the team uptight. So they play free and loose, and they behave free and loose off the court, too. And it's just his ability to kind of moderate his own anxieties and not pass that off on the team, I think, really is part of his brilliance and what makes him such a great coach.
You know, along the lines of what you alluded to earlier, I got a sense that last year when they played UConn, there was almost a mentality of playing with house money. I mean, they'd gone to Durham and beat Duke. Then they beat Maryland. This team, same attitude, but maybe for different reasons. Any logic to now they've been there, and because how they've grown the past year, that there's a sense of, well, A, they're good enough, and they don't have to play a perfect game, just their game, to have a good shot tonight.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, a couple things. Basically, their experience last year gives them a ton of confidence. They know what they're facing. They know what they expect. They feel like they belong. You know, I think last year they surprised even themselves a little bit with how far they got. This year, they're not surprising anybody else, least of all themselves. They feel like they belong at this with this tier of teams that they're competing with at this point, and that they have as good a shot as anybody on any given night to win. The other thing I think is the way they've really started to lock in defensively the last month or so, partly because a player like Satu Sabali, who we've talked about again a couple times now, is really figuring things out on the defensive end. She came in as a really skilled, versatile offensive player, but is really figuring things out on the defensive end. Maite Cazorla is such a great on-ball defender. Ionescu's never going to be the greatest one-on-one defender, just because for all her great attributes, she's not the freakiest athlete on the court, but she's better, more effective. Lexi Bando is great at spacing and communication and things like that, and then Ruthie Hebert's just so strong in the post. The six block shots she had career high the other night really speaks to her development as a one-on-one defender, too. She's going to have her hands full with the big girl for Notre Dame tonight, Shepherd, but she's come a long way. So I think the confidence they have now, not only to score with anybody, but also to defend, get enough stops to really gain some separation on teams, really has infused them with the mentality that, yeah, they can play on any given night with just about anybody.
A couple final thoughts for Rob Mosley of GoDucks.com. And obviously, we now know the accolades that have been doled out. Sabrina's a first-team All-American. Hebert's honorable mention. Satu, the Pac-12 Freshman of the Year. Lexi is the designated sniper. And you mentioned her really quickly. Maite Cazorla, when you think about the stuff that might not always show up in the stat sheet, and now she's a junior for this team, one of the elder statesmen. I mean, just how important of a guiding or steadying force has she been?
Yeah, Kelly Graves will tell you that, she's in some ways, she's Oregon's most valuable player. You know, obviously the competitiveness that Sabrina brings and her ability to hit big shots in big moments and just put up, you know, fill up the stat sheet speaks for itself. And Hebert may be as good of a power forward as there is in the country at this point already as a sophomore. But Maite, yeah, her ability to, when they need a basket, find her way to get to the rim. She's just a master of the pick and roll, whether she's running it, you know, on a pick and pop with Mallory McGuire or, you know, with Hebert rolling down to the basket. You know, Kelly Graves said literally he'll have coaches from around the country hitting him up for some insight into how Maite does it, just running the pick and roll. She's such a master at that. I mean, that's such a basic fundamental element of what these guys want to do offensively, to have somebody use that in command. It's not always, you know, easy to appreciate from the sideline because it is subtle, like you note. But, yeah, she's just, you know, we talk about X factor. She is an X factor for this team. She's such a stabilizing force. And, yeah, another player who, you know, can hit a timely shot, you know, can help shut down an opposing offensive player, and just does a lot of things, a lot of little things, as you said.
And finally, I mean, I had to brush up on Notre Dame. I know their historic accomplishments, their coach, Muffet McGraw. This would be her eighth Final Four. But in talking with Coach Graves and the players and maybe what you've observed, I mean, what kind of team is this that, you know, Oregon's going to battle tonight?
Well, you know, it's a team that's not at full strength. You know, they lost two players to knee injuries over at the end of last season and over the offseason, one of them an All-American. They lost two more during this season. So they're pretty shorthanded. They're leaning real hard on their starters. I mean, I do think the Ducks feel that can be to their benefit late in the game, that if they can manage to push the pace all 40 minutes, that's really going to be taxing on Notre Dame in the last 5-6 minutes of the game. You know, maybe they start missing some shots they've been making, things like that. They do have a shooter in Mabry, who will be number 3 if you're watching the game tonight. She made 7 threes the other night, so somebody they got to account for. Shepard is just a load inside, so a very different kind of challenge for Hebert in the post than she got the other night. And then they got a guard that everybody on this team is comparing to Jordan Canada from UCLA, just for her quickness and ability to get out and get in transition. So Ducks really don't want to turn it over and give her a chance to operate in transition and try to attack the basket that way. So, you know, I think they want to limit turnovers, and then they also want to keep them off the offensive glass. They gave up a ton of offensive rebounds to Central Michigan the other night. Didn't result in a ton of second chance points, but you know, that was something they don't want to repeat. They know if they do that again, they could come out on the short end tonight.
All right. Pretty cool being out there, Rob, and I really appreciate you checking in. Another Final Four on the line. Enjoy the game tonight. You travel safe, and as always, thanks for your time, and look forward to talking soon.
Absolutely. As do I. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good one, Rob.